You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hi, Dad.
Hey, how are you, Laura?
Good. Yeah, it's fun having you here. For you listeners, we just picked my parents up from the airport a couple hours ago, got some Chick-fil-A. Dad, it's so great to have you here.
Oh, it is good to be here. It's funny that I'm in like Huntington Beach, but we're not with each other. I'm in one room recording. You're in another room recording, but at least we know that each of us are both here.
Same time zone.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so Dad, today we will be continuing our series on the Leadership Edge Personal Vision Statement, which we've been breaking down clause by clause. So before we get started, would you please state the entire personal vision statement?
So this is a test to see if Dad really remembers this. So the Leadership Edge Personal Vision Statement is, by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory.
Great. Okay. And so today we're talking about the phrase as God's man or woman. So, Dad, what does that mean?
Well, we're especially talking here about ownership. I think this phrase, as God's man or woman, is kind of the central phrase of the personal vision statement. You know, earlier we've talked about, you know, by God's grace and to step forward, but what are we stepping forward as? And so we're stepping forward as a man or as a woman, but not our own man or woman. We're stepping forward as God's man or woman. And if that's true, then the rest of the personal vision makes sense in that the sense that if I'm God's man or woman, then in my spheres of influence, I'm going to be serving His purposes for His glory. Uh-huh. So in some ways, this one, this as God's man or woman, is kind of the center of the vision, and it connects the two halves, and it's really kind of wrestling with the issue that God owns us. So it's in a very important phrase for us to look at today.
Huh. Yeah. No, that's good. So, and I remember when I was looking at the document, the personal vision statement document, which we will be including as part of the show notes. But there was a quote by John Stott that related to this. Would you share that?
Yes, and everyone who's listening to this episode, you know that you're really getting the money part of this when you get a John Stott quote. So here is John Stott, and he is exactly spot on in this quote. It says, "Our body has not only been created by God and one day will be resurrected by Him, but it has been bought by Christ's blood and is indwelt by His Spirit. Thus, it belongs to God three times over, by creation, by redemption, and by indwelling. How then, since it does not belong to us, can we misuse it? Instead, we are to honor God with our body, by obedience and self-control. Bought by Christ, we have no business to become the slaves of anybody or anything else."
That's good.
"Once we were the slaves of sin, now we are the slaves of Christ and His service. His service is the true freedom." It's a great quote there from John Stott.
Yeah, that really is. I love the line about how we belong to God, so we're not our own and we aren't someone else's. So what does that mean practically, or what would that look like?
Well, for me, what it means is whenever I show up anywhere, I think we talked briefly about this in the previous episode, whenever we step forward, we're not stepping forward as our own person. If we're working for a business or corporation, we're not stepping forward as their person. We're stepping forward as God's person. He owns us. And in the show notes that they'll be looking at on the personal vision statement, in this section, we talk there about how God has bought us with a price, that God has ransomed us, that God has adopted us. And so there's just this steady drumbeat of ownership. And so what that practically means is, whether it's in my marriage, in my family, in my career, in my community, in my church, when I engage, when I step forward as a man who is owned by God. And that makes complete difference in everything, in terms of how I step forward, the ambitions or goals I have, the values, how I treat people, the purposes, everything makes a difference if I step forward understanding that I'm His.
That is a really clarifying and really freeing thought to me too, because I think during the day, it's easy to kind of, for me to get tied up in knots and kind of just be spinning almost with trying to, you know, accomplish lots of different goals and trying to please a number of different people and then having my own agenda. And so to think about, one, just the security and stability that I have in I belong to God, my identity is secure in Him, really depending on what He says. And then also, it's really clarifying to think, okay, above anything else, the person I need to be pleasing is God. And so it kind of, I don't know, brings it all together. Yep. Of thinking through, okay, what is honoring to God? How should I be spending my time? How should I be prioritizing things?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious for you, like, were there experiences in your life that caused you to see the importance of this piece, or how did this come to be part of the vision statement?
Yeah, you know, it really goes back to a time in my life, and I don't remember exactly when. I think this was probably in my 20s or early 30s.
Uh-huh.
But I was reflecting on a kind of obscure passage in the Old Testament. It's in the book of Deuteronomy 15. And in there, there's this kind of a command that if you, as a Jewish person, have another Jewish person who is your slave, then you need to understand that after, I think it was like 6 or 7 years, you need to release them and give them their total freedom. But then there's kind of this caveat where it says, but if the slave comes to you and says, I love you, I love your people, my life is better because I'm with you, and I want to be yours forever. And then it says that the owner is to take his ear, to pierce it with an awl, and then that person will be the slaveholder's forever. And when I read that, I thought, that's the kind of relationship and obedience I want to have with God.
Hmm.
Where instead of thinking, how soon can I get away from Him?
Huh.
I'm thinking, I want to be His forever because I love Him, I love His people, and my life is way better being His than it is being my own. Hmm. And so, it's kind of obscure and really kind of challenging as any passage on slavery would be for us.
Uh-huh.
It was like in that moment I began to wrestle with, in a very good way, the desire of Him owning me, of Him being my Lord of everything.
Hmm.
And I think what you just said a few minutes ago is exactly right. It's like ownership conveys obligation, like I'm obliged to Him, I'm obligated to Him. But when Jesus owns us, like you were saying, it also is like a great place of rest and trust and freedom and safety. And so there's both obligation when we realize that God owns us, but there's also this amazing freedom and blessedness and being able to rest in the fact that He's the one who's bought us with a price.
Huh. Yeah, that's really good. Well, and that reminds me of in the personal vision statement document that we're going to be linking to. And if you haven't had a chance to check this out before, it basically goes through the personal vision statement clause by clause and defines the phrases, but then also has verses and important quotes that kind of help explain the idea further. So if you haven't already checked that out, you make sure to do that. But anyways, so one of the things that really stood out to me from this section of the document was your comments on Ephesians 1:4. So the verses read, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved." And so then you synopsize these verses as, "You are now a son or daughter of the perfect king, and so your identity is established as one of great value, and you have no need to earn or prove it." So I guess there's a couple of thoughts. Let me start with the first one. I mean, I guess what you were just saying about us belonging to God isn't just an obligation, but really it's a really beautiful thing. But I guess when you were choosing those verses for the document, I guess, how do you see those verses connecting to the idea of being God's man or woman?
Yeah, well, that Ephesians 1:4-6, I mean, anything in the book of Ephesians is just amazingly wonderful.
Huh.
But in this section, you know, you've got these strong words like, he chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose us in him. And then that he predestined us, which is, again, just this big, powerful word. But then what he predestined us for was adoption to himself as sons or as daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. And then it says, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he has blessed us in the beloved. And, you know, whenever I'm thinking through Ephesians, I always assume there's no way I'm going to understand everything this verse is saying.
Well, it's encouraging.
Yeah. But I think the amazing thing it's saying is God and his amazing kind sovereignty, even before the world was created, he chose us, but he didn't just choose us as like bits of matter or bits of creation. He chose us to be his children, to be his sons and daughters, and to give us his grace, his glorious grace with which we're blessed. And so I think this is kind of the 100,000 feet look at what it means that we're his man or woman. It's it's all about in his whole plan for creation. He chose us, he predestined us to be his children. And children that would be blessed with his grace. So it's an amazing passage there.
Yeah, I mean, that's such good news.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's something that, you know, I personally need to be reminded of so often because this is not a surprise to you, but I have like a bit of an obsessive performance drive. And so that verse and what it says about that he has adopted us and his grace for us. Those are things that I want to keep front and center. So what does it look like to be growing as God's man or woman? Or how does God's man or woman begin to find their identity in what God says rather than what people say or maybe numbers?
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that, you know, we learn from theologians and they're reflecting back what is in the Word of God, that our three enemies every day is the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they're constantly lined up against us. And we have to, you know, humbly admit one third of those is us, meaning our flesh.
Yeah.
But I think every day, you know, our natural bent is to think it's all about me, and to think that that I own myself that I'm kind of the captain of my destiny, or sometimes the victim of my destiny. And so then we enter into the spheres of influence that we step forward into, and we're just self-absorbed.
Yes.
And even if we're trying to do something virtuous, like to serve someone or to be of help to someone, we're still just caught up in ourselves, that it's all up to us, that we've got to pull it off. And so I think, again, the wonder of this, and I think you really got at this at the very beginning of this episode, is that if we remember that we're stepping forward as God's man or woman, the freedom that comes when we step into the different spheres he calls us into, to know that we have everything we need because we're in him, and to know that even if it doesn't go perfectly, and most likely it won't go perfectly, that it's going to be okay because I'm his and he's there with me and I can trust him. And so, again, I'll say that this phrase, as God's man or woman, it really is kind of the centerpiece of this vision statement. Because none of the rest of it makes sense if I'm my own agent, if I'm just acting on my own and hoping that maybe God will show up and bless. But as we step forward knowing I'm his, he's bought me, he's ransomed me, he's adopted me, then my life, my influence, it's all going to go okay. And even in the hardest days, in the days that I have the most responsibilities going on, I can rest and I can be okay because I'm his.
Yeah, that's so good, Dad. So, I mean, it sounds like what you're saying is, for us to step forward as God's man or woman, our identity really has to be in Christ. And so, I guess, how does a right identity in Christ, like seeing ourselves rightly in relation to Christ, change the way that we would step forward as God's man or woman?
Yeah. Well, I've thought through the years, you know, I've been a Christian for almost 50 years now by his grace. And one of the verses that has both intrigued me and really helped me through the years, and really I've wrestled with this kind of every year that I've been a Christian, is Galatians 2:20. And in that passage, he keeps going back and forth about who's alive and who's dead and that he's in Christ. But let me read it to you. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And so there's just this amazing kind of interplay between I'm dead, he's alive, I'm alive, but he's living in me. And it's just an amazing kind of picture of what that identity being in Christ is all about. I have been crucified. I don't live as I did. Christ lives in me. But now I do live this life in the flesh, and I live it by faith in him, that he's going to show up, that he's going to be what he's promised he would be for me, and that he loved me and gave himself for me. So I really think, you ask me, like, what does this mean? What does this look like? I have found for my own self, just regularly reflecting on Galatians 2:20 helps me to understand what it means to be in Christ. I think one other passage I'd point our listeners to is John 15, where he's talking about the vine and the branches. And where he talks about, you know, how we have to be in the vine, and if we're not, then we can't accomplish anything, for apart from me you can do nothing. So I think those two passages, John 15 and Galatians 2:20, are great places for all of us to just kind of meditate, you know, ongoingly, in terms of what does it mean for me to be in Christ and to be bought by him, to be adopted by him, to be in that kind of relationship with
him. Yeah. Yeah. Man, that's good, Dad. Yeah, I think it looks like it's about time that we need to start wrapping it up. So I won't ask any more questions, but I think my big takeaway from the things you've shared today is just kind of connected to that picture from Deuteronomy, but just that if we really understand who God is and just his goodness to us and the grace that he extends to us, then we would want to be God's man or woman, and we would see just the joy and freedom that comes from living for his purposes and seeking to glorify him. And you also made me want to look up Galatians 2:20. So, man, so much good stuff. Thanks for sharing.
And just one last thing I want to throw in. You know, for our listeners, I think about who listens to this podcast. I know it's people in all kinds of businesses and professions. I know it's with moms and dads and husbands and wives and people involved in their church and community and significant friendships. And I just encourage our listeners today to begin to imagine each place that they step forward into today, each relationship, every place of responsibility, every sphere of influence, that when they step into that place, they don't step in as their own person. They step in as a blessed child of God who's been bought by him and greatly desired and loved by him. And I just know that that can transform everything for us.
Man, that's so good. Let's just end right there. Well, as always, Dad, it's a joy to talk to you. And
you, Laura. This is great.
Thanks. Well, listeners, thanks for tuning in, and hope to connect with you again next time.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.